2 years ago, many Americans were fixed on the plight of more than 200 high school girls in Nigeria. Militants with a terrorist group known as Boko Haram had stormed the students' dormitory and kidnapped them. American college students responded with the cry, "Bring back our girls." Most of those kidnapped are still in captivity. Many of them have been married off to militants and have given birth to their children. And Boko Haram has abducted thousands more girls in the northeastern part of Nigeria. The militia has helped create a humanitarian crisis that's brought this part of Nigeria to the point of famine. There's an American woman from Southern California who is witnessing all of this firsthand. Her name is Margie Ensign. She's the president of the American University of Nigeria and is in Washington this week. Her work in Yola, Nigeria happens on a grand scale and a personal one. We'll start with the personal. After Boko Haram first kidnapped the young women and brought them to their camp, Dr. Ensign and her security chief did something daring and dangerous.
One very early morning, we got into unmarked Toyota vans and drove and met 11 young women and parents who at the time were still alive, who were willing to take a big risk and come to the university and finish their education.
Now, you should say the Boko Haram fighters could apprehend you at any time, but the girls and their families were, it's almost like they were waiting for you.
They were. It was quite extraordinary. We didn't know exactly where they would be, and I had mistakenly left a tiny logo of the university on the driver's side of our car, and as we pulled up to a corner, a whole group of people started waving at us, and I knew we had found them.
You mean because they had seen the logo?
They saw the logo.
And,
yes.
And that was a mistake on your part, but it turned out to be a beneficial
mistake. It was a good mistake.
A good mistake.
Exactly.
So you were able to get how many of the girls back then?
Well, that morning we brought 11. We now have 24. They are some of the most extraordinary young people I've ever been associated with or taught in my life. Six are now fully enrolled at the university, and they're going to be doctors and lawyers and architects, and all of them want to go back to Chibok and build their community. They're extraordinary.
What did they have to be acclimated to after their time with Boko Haram?
To be really honest, they don't still want to talk about it. I think they've really tried to just move beyond that. We know some of them were terrorized, and those that were are still having some challenges, but they really have moved forward. They don't talk about it. They talk to each other. They're a very religious group of young women, so when things are challenging for them, they get together and hold hands and pray, and they find their strength from that and from each other. But if you saw them, you would just think there are any other young people in college who are excited about what they're going to do with their lives.
So the larger picture here is an extraordinarily serious one. I know that the president of Nigeria had really waged an offensive against Boko Haram. I wonder if you can tell us if that has been successful and what the other severe problems are that the area is facing now.
So you're right. President Buhari has pushed them back. There are only a few strongholds left now in places like the Sambisi Forest and so on. That doesn't mean they can't still threaten people. There have been many, many incidents of suicide bombings. And so they still have that capacity. So the security situation has improved, but in its wake is a bigger set of problems. And we're kind of at the front lines of that again. And I think it's so important that your listeners understand what's happening now. So Boko Haram has been pushed back, but the World Food Organization estimates there may be over 4 million people on the verge of starvation.
Wait, how did this happen?
The three states most effective, Adamawa, where we are, Borno, and Yobe, there have been millions of people away from their homes. Their homes are farms. Because Boko Haram has now been pushed back, they're going home. The majority were not able to plant food for this year. We were this summer able to get seeds to 70,000. That was a drop in the bucket. So it's not a threat of starvation. We are in the middle of a famine. It's why I'm here in Washington trying to raise the alarm. With everything happening around the world, from Syria to many other hotspots, it is not on anyone's radar what this region now looks like. I've seen it firsthand. I know how much more is out there. So we were here to try to raise awareness and action by the U.S. government to respond to this famine. And the reason we're here is that the university established a peace initiative years before Boko Haram started, thank goodness. And we've used that peace initiative. During the height of it, we were feeding almost 300,000 people. We have programs now. The most important is called Feed and Read, because in Boko Haram's wake, there are tens of thousands of children who have been orphaned. Feed and Read is literally one meal a day and teaching children how to read to give them the semblance of a normal life and education. The waiting lists are so huge that these children not in the program show up for their one meal, and the children who are in it share their one meal. So we came to say three things to the U.S. Congress and anyone who will listen to us. First, we have a model, the university with its peace initiative, that kept young people in Yola from joining Boko Haram. We can document how we did that. The world needs to know these positive stories about how you prevent young people from joining terrorist groups. Secondly, we're in the middle of a famine. The world, we hope, will listen and respond. And third, we now have peace structures throughout the Northeast, the three affected states, that can get food to the grassroots level, to the most vulnerable people. We did that with seeds this summer. We can do it again with food if anybody will listen and support us.
When you testified before this congressional panel to tell them what's happening in Nigeria, what was the response?
Great surprise. We had people from the State Department there, from aid, from even Homeland Security.
That must be distressing.
I think it's what we've lived through the last 3 years, so it's not surprising to me. Frankly, African challenges are often not recognized in the rest of the world because we simply don't have the knowledge to understand what's happening, and we paint a very wide picture of the whole continent when it's, as you know, it's huge. It's, you know, many, many countries. So I guess I wasn't surprised, but I just hope that someone hears this message, because we can help solve this for not very much money. We can get to many of those people. And our worry is not only that people are starving, but if the U.S. and others and the Nigerians don't jump on this and solve it, this cycle of violence that has really stopped could start again. The levels of desperation, the levels of poverty are so high, and there's been much progress, and we're hoping that we'll get some support for this.
Right, because the problems as you see them up close on the ground are widespread famine, and also, as you've said, Nigeria is home to the biggest population of out-of-school children in the world.
Yes.
And when that happens, there is more threat that they will be entranced and indoctrinated into a terrorist group such as Boko Haram?
Absolutely. And we've made progress with that. The U.S. gave us a small amount of money for a pilot program. I'll tell you quickly. It's called TELA, Technology Enhanced Learning for All. 20,000 out-of-school children listen to radio like yours. And 2,000 my computer science students and faculty wrote apps in the two local languages, Hausa and Fulfulde. We had 5 months to see if we could make a 50% improvement. Last week, the data came out. It's between 85 and 98%.
Of what?
Improvement in reading and math. It's extraordinary. And so if we could expand this, as you said, there are 11 million children out of school before the insurgency. There's another 3 million in our region. If we could expand the radio and the tablet computers, that might sound crazy in a poor part of the world, but these young kids, you know, want to learn on the technology too, using the new technology. So we're thrilled with the results. And we know if we can expand that program, we could get to those 3 million in our region. The hunger for education is unlike anything I've seen. And again, if we can get the support, we can expand these programs. It might not seem much to us sitting here in the West, but for these children, this is life, this is hope, this is education, this is saying we care about you. For the older children, especially the boys, I've had way too many tell me it was either you, meaning our university programs, or Boko Haram.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us. Margie Ensign, president of the American University of Nigeria in Yola, Nigeria. She's speaking with us from Washington, D.C. Thank you.
Thank you.